We're reading in the book Kabbalah for the beginner introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, page 198, item 155. You can ask questions during the lesson through www.kab.tv/eng. Selected questions relevant to the topic will be aired. Page 198, Kabbalah for the beginner introduction to the study of the Ten Sefirot, item 155. Therefore, we must ask, why then did the Kabbalists obligate each person to study the wisdom of Kabbalah? Meaning, first of all, Kabbalists obligate every person to study Kabbalah. Can you hear it? Next. Go on. Indeed, even though they don't understand what they're studying, Rav says, no, he skipped the line. Okay, we'll start from the beginning of item 155. Therefore, we should ask, why then do the Kabbalists obligate each person to study the wisdom of Kabbalah? Indeed, there is a great thing in it, worthy of being publicized. Meaning, we must publicize why they obligate each person to study Kabbalah. So what they are obliging us to do, we must do. There is a wonderful and valuable remedy to those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Meaning, there is something here, like a remedy. A remedy meaning something above the corporeal nature. That's the definition of sgula. Sgula is a word that means virtue or remedy or cure, all kinds of things. There are laws, and everything runs by the laws, but there are the laws that we can identify in this world, like scientific laws. And there are laws that act more broadly, more kind of comprehensively, which we cannot discover with our instruments. But Kabbalists who feel them and attain them in the spiritual world see these laws as if they're behind the screen, behind the embroidery picture. Where there are additional laws, but again, they're natural laws, they're not some miracle where I have to jump three times and turn twice, and then I discover something, right? These are the laws of the spiritual nature. Spiritual nature meaning it is unattainable. The system is unattainable to my senses, but it's a system running by very precise laws. But there are people who discover it, who see it, and there are people like us who still haven't discovered it. So, towards us, their laws are called a remedy or a virtue or a cure. It's as if you're telling a child, just do it, and you'll see what will happen. He said, no, no way, it's impossible. They don't see the big picture. In the child's limited world, it's impossible. But in your world, you understand that it will work out. So you teach it. You tell them, do it, and you'll see how it works out. You should get this and that results. So that's why they're telling us. They're telling us what to do in this way. So don't think about sgula, that it's something miraculous. It's a law like all other laws, but it's such a level of reality that we don't attain. So, there's a law above, and a very important law to those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah, who they connect to the influence of that law upon them. What is it? Although they do not understand what they're learning, meaning that's not the condition. To use this law, you don't need to know, because you really are still at a degree where you don't know. Knowing means to attain, to understand, to control. You're still not there. Okay, fine, no problem. Even though they do not understand what they're learning, through the yearning and the great desire to understand what they're learning, that's the condition. You have to be equipped with a great desire to understand what you're learning. To understand in Kabbalah, well, everything should be interpreted by the way they understand, and we have to understand what they're saying, what they mean by saying understanding. Understanding is the deepest level of attainment, which comes according to the equivalence of form. I have to understand that to understand spirituality means to be like the spiritual. So it expands in me, spreads in me, fills me. I am filled with it. All the lights, all the kelim, all the rules and all the contacts will be in me. And as a result, I will feel and understand. There is no other way. This is called through the great desire and craving and yearning to understand what they're learning. I want me to live by this pattern, higher pattern. So if I want to be this way, it means I want to be there emotionally, to entirely be in that degree that I'm reading about in the Kabbalah books, and I'm studying about it. I don't understand it, but I want it. Where do I get the drive for it? From the point in the heart, which I then develop through the group. So, if everything is arranged in this way, then they awaken upon themselves the lights that surround their souls. So, within a person is a kli for spirituality called the soul. If he has that need to be integrated in the spiritual world, something that is above, beyond this world, when he wants to assume this network, this pattern, so it is in him, so it controls and governs him, so he begins to think and to feel like the spirituality. He is willing for it to clothe in him. This is called wanting to develop his soul, the desire for spirituality. And then, this means that every person from Israel meaning straight to the Creator, one who wants adhesion with the Creator. Those are called Israel. The rest who don't want it are not called Israel by the Kabbalistic definition. So you can't ask them for it. As he said in the beginning of the introduction, who comes to study Kabbalah? Those who ask, what's the meaning of my life? And are willing to accept the answer, taste and see that the Lord is good. That for the resolution of this problem, the writing says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because those who attain the Creator resolve this problem of this question of what is the meaning of my life. Yes? This means that every person from Israel is guaranteed to finally attain all the wonderful attainments that the Creator has calculated in the thought of creation to delight every creature. Meaning, whether we want to or not, it is the purpose of creation, and we will have to achieve it. To achieve adhesion with the Creator and to attain everything that He has prepared for us. And we also learned it in various sources that either by blows from above meaning the light affects our will to receive, and then we are nevertheless compelled because we are feeling beings, so we have to escape the blows, and so the blows direct us towards the goal, aim us towards the goal. Either that way or by identifying the goal by ourselves, by agreeing with it, and then by doing things that bring us towards that goal through the group and the study. Yes. So, each is guaranteed that in the end of the way will be in this wondrous attainment that the Creator has calculated in the thought of creation to delight every creature. In other words, the creature means a person in this world who receives a desire for the Creator, who feels that he is detached from something. This is why he's called a creature. Creature meaning outside the degree. So, the Creator gives everyone this kind of desire so he would feel detached from something, and thus a person begins to want and achieves the goal. So, each and every one must achieve that purpose. Baal HaSulam explains in the article the souls, 600,000 souls. No, not 600,000 souls. He explains that in our world there are reincarnations. The reincarnation of the form, I think, it's in the piece. The article, the piece, that there is a sum, a limited number of souls that constantly return to this world, and incarnation by incarnation, life after life, by clothing in this world, they come closer to correction. And in the end, they are rewarded with this correction of the soul. The body is changed, replaced all the time. But the soul acquires additional corrections until it achieves dvikut, adhesion with the Creator. And this is why every creature is guaranteed to finally achieve that. One who has not been rewarded in this life, that we're not talking about, that he's, which, where he's now reading about himself, will be granted in the next life, etc. In the end, he'll get to it. He'll have to get to achieve the purpose. There is no choice here. There's no choice here. Finally, one will be rewarded with completing the thought that he preliminary planned for him. That's the purpose for each of us. So, what is the problem? That we're given a chance to make our way shorter and show that we want the purpose that the Creator had preordained and determined for us. While one has not attained perfection, meaning achieving this final dvikut with the Creator, to be human, Adam, meaning similar to the Creator, Dome, similar, and Dome, similar to him, means being as benevolent as he is towards others, meaning to correct my keli, my desires to be all to benefit others. In general, this is about love thy friend as thyself. That's why it says that it's a great rule in the Torah. These lights are destined to reach him, the lights that he should fill himself with at the end of correction, to understand, to feel the Creator, his status. So, they're destined to reach him, are considered surrounding lights. That's how he feels them. What does that mean? That means that they stand ready and wait for one to purify one's vessels of reception. They wait for him. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for him to purify his vessels of reception, to be entirely to bestow, just like in the Creator. And then, according to the law of equivalence of form, these lights will clothe the able vessels, corrected ones. That's clear, right? Questions? Yes. We skipped a line. Very important one. When they're learning, they're awakening upon themselves, lights that surround themselves. No, I didn't skip it. Did I skip it? So what's the question? What does it mean that they awaken upon themselves lights that surround their souls? I don't think I said it. Mm-hmm. Where is it? In the third line, in Hebrew. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I thought he was going to say it. Okay, so I skipped it. But because of the great desire to understand what they're learning, they awaken upon themselves the lights that surround their souls. So, right. So when... Okay, so here the question is very subtle. Look what he says. Out of the great desire and craving or yearning is not the same. There's a desire and there's a craving beyond the desire. So the desire, in the end, you're given from above. But a craving is something you have to develop. I have a desire for something. It's rooted in my nature. I may have an inclination towards it. But when I go and develop it further and further and further, I enhance this desire. But especially what I do, I build an additional kli here, the craving or yearning. The difference between desire and craving isn't just in the addition that comes from my part. It comes from being integrated with society, because a desire for spirituality we get only as an initial point that is a result of the shattering. All the other desires for spirituality I can only receive as an influence from the environment. So this desire, this craving, is not just a craving for a goal. Yes, that's what I want. This desire is the understanding that I have to come to a system where I'm included in all the other souls. And only by being included in them do I achieve fulfillment. And that's the fulfillment that I really want. The fulfillment of feeling myself connected to all the other souls in the law of pure and absolute bestowal. And this feeling is in itself the creator, the giver. Because I feel within my kelim my own impressions and inspiration from the qualities that I've achieved. So it turns out that they awaken upon themselves the lights that surround their souls, meaning then you truly awaken the light according to the law of equivalence of form. You want that light that fills the soul in a corrected form. Right? If you want to be in the state of the corrected soul, in a corrected degree, I'm in degree level 1 right now, that's my soul. And here, my soul is at the next level. The difference between the levels is in the desire, in the kli. Here, my desire is, say, for me. And here, my desire is for others. This quality fills me here, opening me, inner light, that fills me. If I want to go from my current desire to the next desire, the light that shines there shines on me as surrounding light, O Makif. Right? All in all, it follows the law of equivalence of form. Right? Yeah? Why should I want a light that to me is the opposite of what I want? So how can I want it? Here, in the beginning of this craving, there's a point that I receive from above. Wait. Point that I received from the Creator, right? Like an awakening from above. It goes through the systems, of course. And I then developed it. Development, yes? I've developed it. I developed it through the group, or using the group. Because the difference between my present self and my future self is that this is for me and that's for others. So I can develop it only through the group. So I don't have a choice. Out of the desire to receive, I am integrated in the group where I realize my free choice, and my free choice is here between the desire that I receive from the Creator and the group. Here is my choice. How? From the desire that He gave to me to the desire that I should acquire for spirituality, how do I develop it? How do I go from desire to desire? That's the choice, as he explains it in the freedom, in the article, The Freedom. And then, according to my desire, to my craving, to this yearning of mine, the surrounding light shines on me. Because I'm attracted to it. The light is in complete rest. The Creator is in complete rest. He is benevolent to the good and to the bad. To the extent that you crave it and demand it, if it follows the achievement of the final goal, then you evoke on yourself all of these actions. You try to move yourself in the field of light, and accordingly you get a response from it. So if you carry out your free choice, you advance. If you don't carry it out, then you remain on the same plane. You can't go from one level to the next. And that's how it is every time. Every time, until you become more and more integrated in the system of Adam HaRishon. And in giving to the other souls and in being included in them, you become more and more similar to the Creator who's given to them and fulfills them. And thus you achieve equivalence of form, meaning dvikut, with the Creator. Yes. I would like to ask, from a perspective of a person who is not in things, but hears them and tries to understand the explanations. In the beginning of the lesson, you said there are two kinds of laws in nature. One kind is a kind we know and can detect. The other kind is a kind that is some range that we can't perceive right now, so we don't know them. But Kabbalists are people who do know them and know how they work, and that's what they're explaining to us. This is we can't understand. But since then, you started talking about, I also compared it to a child and a father, for example. The father says to his son, "You don't know it, but try it and see that it works." Right, so thus far it is clear. Sounds possible. After that, you started talking about all kinds of things like lights and all kinds of processes that sound totally unscientific, even a little mystic. Can you go back to that terminology and explain things in a way that's a little more kind of scientific or physical, something that you can really understand and hold? I don't want to decline, come down to psychology, people who, like people who claim to speak from the perspective of Kabbalah. They talk about desires, they're saying correct things, but that's about it. They're not talking about correcting the desire, but about limiting the desire. Why chase things if the pleasure comes and neutralizes the desire and you remain empty? I can hear it, no. On all kinds of channels on the TV. So the question is, to decline to psychological examples, I don't think that's good. But we can see that it works in this world. Yes? What do these lecturers say? They're saying, you want to be happy? Think that you're happy. Think of yourself as being happy. You don't want to feel deficient. Don't think of yourself as being deficient. In other words, why think about big things? Settle for less. Diminish your will to receive. You'll be happier. Here, we're talking about completely different things. Forget about the upper light. Let's talk about the level of this world. We can see from the system that is now appearing in corporeality that we are all connected. We can't avoid it. Earth is small, our planet. We are in a limited territory, kind of. It's as if we're all living in the same house. And we can't get along. Not just with our neighbors, with our own household, our own families, as it is written in the Torah. He hates his own families. Yeah, a person hates his own household, own family. We can see that this is what's happening. Parents and children, they're just willing to kill each other. You can see things that are just, you know, these things didn't exist before. The prophets write about the end of time. They're saying mothers will eat their children. When I hear about things that are happening in the world between parents and children, I see that we are approaching it. This was unrealistic, unthinkable a few dozen years ago. So we can take examples from our world, which is a global world, meaning it's all interconnected into one system, where we're all hateful of each other, but we're stuck together. And if we can connect among ourselves because of the threat of destruction that may come from nature or from us, from all directions, from now to the next moment, there might be an atomic war or a bomb will go off somewhere, and who knows what will happen, how it'll escalate, or there may be a tsunami that comes from above, from below, from who knows what. The phenomena are very... Well, so if it makes you think about stuff, even if the Torah doesn't tell you, love your friend as yourself, it's the correction, the end of correction, as Kabbalah says, even without it, at the end of the day, the feeling is that we have to find at least some kind of strength to limit the human evil, to take out the human factor from the threat of destruction. So it won't be because we destroy each other. Nature will think of what to do with nature afterwards. We have two threats. One is the human society, and one comes from the other comes from the surrounding nature. So, in the human society, we can see that we're, because we're connected to each other and we're hateful of each other, it's like a family that's living in one house, and they want to divorce, and they hate each other, but they have nowhere to go. So we have to make peace somehow. Today, world peace is domestic peace, really. We don't have a choice. If people don't understand it, or they do understand it, but that's a situation. That's the way it is. So, in such cases, they say, if you start thinking about the good situation, you'll get closer to it. You'll just get closer to it. Why? You'll be evoking forces that exist in nature that will affect you positively. We can see it in life. you know, today, instead of your sour face that I see on you now, just walk around with a smile. Kind of glue it to yourself. And you'll see that you feel happier. Why? Because you're smiling the whole day. So then what does that give you? So what if I do that? Your own beast is used to this, relating this to gladness. That's how it works, from the outside inwardly. So then you will begin to feel happier. Look at your neighbor, friend, right? Look at him. No. Look at him. I don't want to get into to come down to this silly psychology. We're talking about the purpose, about rising. But we see that these things work at the corporal level, at the animate level, at the human level, at all kinds of levels. In other words, what you want, you get support for it from nature. Write it down. That's a law. You get support from nature to what you want. A thief who is praying before he goes out to steal, who prays for success, receives support. That's it. Especially if he's going with a group and they have love of friends among them, they succeed. So, if you want to achieve bestowal, love, bonding, because you don't have a choice, because otherwise you're under threat, it'll work. Because these laws exist in the nature before us. But the Torah comes, people who are already in the spiritual world, who see the whole system and how it works behind the scenes, behind the embroidery, they see the threads connecting this picture from behind, they see the laws around the world, that's around the world, and they explain to us about the broader picture, so we know where we're going, where we're headed, what's happening, what kind of forces we can acquire here, the kind of degree we can achieve. They're shortening our way. They're giving us a shortcut. And that's it. So they wrote books and said, if you want to correct your situation, there will come a time. Rabbi Shimon said and wrote 2,000 years ago that there will come a time. So what did he say? Did he say, along with Rabbi Elazar, who was thinking about the end of correction altogether? He said, there will be a time when the Zohar will be revealed to all. You will need it to simply to be saved, really. Just that. To be saved from this terrible state. If you ask about the meaning of your lives, if you suffer 2,000 years from now, and you'll open this book, you'll open up the wisdom of Kabbalah, and you will discover how to be saved. When you ask, what's the meaning of my life, and then your life will seem meaningless and pointless. At least, how to exist? Why? What for? There's troubles. How do I avoid them? Know that here you'll get an explanation. And that's it. So what's unrealistic here? I don't get it. Yes?
You said that the principle of development is whatever you yearn for, you get support from nature for it. So if I get it correctly, I'll explain what I base myself upon. Bala Sulam, he said that those that lived in the kibbutz and the Negev, when they began to pray for the rain, those Zionists, those seculars, God have mercy upon them, those that have no synagogue nor a book of Torah, they eat pork during the Shabbat, etc., etc. And at the day of Kippur, they really have a feast and a really good banquet. And that's the way it was. I'm not joking. That's the way it was. If, along with this, they'll ask for rain from above, the rain will come. Who are they asking from that they disregard him and curse him and want nothing from him? But I want rain. The rain will come. Why? Because it's a person's desire, it's his will. A person's will. You don't have to go to the synagogue for it, to sit with a book of Torah, stand by the pole, and before this dip yourself, and, have a fast, nothing. A man's desire, it determines the desire. That's it. And he doesn't ascribe this desire to anyone. There is no upper force. He cuts himself off from it. Doesn't matter. We're talking about a system which is arranged that way. Therefore, I told you about the thief. It's written, the thief in the dungeon when he's hiding out. It's also from the Gemara. If he prays, helps him. What does it mean he prays? He wants to succeed. Meaning in the evil and the good things, and it doesn't matter what kind of things, a man's desire determines. And there is the desire of the collective and the desire of the particular. Heroes in quantity and heroes in quality. We learned about this. So the more heroic will be, both in quality and quantity, in unity, in order to affect these forces, you have to be in unity as close as possible. You have to be close to them as possible. You can draw upon yourself extremely effective effect.
Impact.
If I understand correctly, this item answers why did the Kabbalists oblige everyone to study Kabbalah? And the answer is that there is a great remedy in it, that by this study, a person awakens the lights which surround his souls. So you said that there are laws we see in nature, laws we don't see. And Kabbalah tells us about these laws and explains to us how should we work accordingly and to probably develop to something good. Can you explain what are the souls that what are the lights that surround their souls in a way that it won't sound as a mystical experience? What are the lights that surround their souls? And so you do understand. So can you explain it somehow that we will understand it? And I'm asking specifically, not a desire of a person that brings them wherever he wants, but what do you need the Kabbalah for? What does Kabbalah add for a person in life? Why did they oblige each person to study Kabbalah? It is said that there is the current state, the present state. There is the future state. In Kabbalah, it's said that all these conditions are determined, defined conditions. Whether I want it or not, I have to move from one state to the next till I reach the end of all states, which is called my end of correction, the next world. The path I'm going through and the way I'm going through it, it all depends on my participation. Like with a small child. He wants to learn, he wants to be a good boy. He gets support, he gets gifts, presents, different things. He doesn't want. Unfortunately, we have to put pressure upon him. Bit of beatings, restrictions, limitations, etc. But sooner or later, whether he wants it or not, everyone will have to go through that path. They'll have to take the path. And the Kabbalists, they come and say, we have a remedy. Meaning, use something in order to ease up the way. Because each and every of your future conditions is defined. You can't escape it. Even if you'll get rid of life now, you'll be reborn and have to do it anyhow. Even if you turn yourself whichever way you want, won't help. We already know that life, somehow, they unfold, and you want it or don't, they have a lawfulty of their own, and somehow we have no control over them. we shouldn't be completely stupid. We should take from experience and understand that it's probably true, correct. For me, there's something. Each one believes in destiny, future, something. Everyone wants to hear about what might be or what will be. Not like in beasts, a person has a special feeling, a sensation of time, both past, present, and future. And he sees this whole perspective. And therefore, we, by understanding our future correct, proper, worthy, desirable conditions, we will want to reach them by our own powers. By this, we will draw ourselves to them by the good forces. I want it. By wanting it to happen, it will. I want to incorporate in the next condition. By this, I accumulate my inner powers, and then I work this way. I perform this way, whether I want it or not. What does it mean, whether I want it or not? Whether I understand or not, I operate the system to work upon me this way. I operate the general system by it. I have to advance from one state to the next, from here to there. So, if I study, who am I in my current state? And who do I want to be in the next state? What's the difference between the two states? What works on me? What influences me? As a result, I have the ability to realize something, take an action. I take my life into reins, into my own hands. If I want to advance to my next state, it's to be connected more with the group. I hate them. I don't want it. I have no choice. I'm included from them. Whether I want it or not, I should read from these books. They advance me instead of the power that pushes me from behind. Why should I advance by beatings? I can advance by being attracted to the good. Here in the learning and in the group and in the self inner work and the general work and dissemination, we actually prepare ourselves each time to shift, to move from one state to the next in the good, comfortable, and rapid way. Like Rabashi explains to us that there is the short way and the distant way. He has such an article. So all our work is about this, and there aren't no lights to surround our souls here. The soul is my desire for the next condition, the better condition, better state. This is what we call the soul.
What is the soul? It's a desire. The substance of the soul is the desire. My desire, it's when my desire aims for something higher. What is the light? The quality that fills the soul. That's the light. Right now, the quality that fills my desires is a desire to receive, to enjoy, to use everyone else. In the next state, I'm told that it's certain, and I can see it through globalization and all kinds of things, that I'll have no choice. I'll have to come to a state where I see the world is connected to me and I'm connected to the world. That's the way it is. What can you do about it? So I have to find some kind of contact with them, some kind of common language. So love, their friends, and self is probably something that without it will either kill ourselves, or the earth will kill us. So, out of that situation, we progress. So the current quality of wanting to use everyone and enjoy dominating everyone, my next state and my next quality is that my desire will be to love others. Well, not that much, but a little bit, you know. And what will fill me is the satisfaction from giving to others. Only in this way can we be salvaged from destruction. Either mutual destruction, destroying each other, or destruction by nature. That's what the world is coming to. So don't call it surrounding lights. It's a quality that is inside the desire. The quality that's inside my present desire is my present state, the inner light within the kli, the quality that is in the next kli, the more advanced one, for me is currently surrounding light. Call it that. Perhaps you could say more. I don't know. I'm not a good preacher. What can I do? Yeah, Asaf. Can I try and help Oren? Okay, go ahead. Helping a friend is respectable. It's beautiful. I wanted to continue with the language you started. We said a person, a human being, is in a certain state, and there is a desirable state. Kabbalists see it and know what it is. Now, what you also told us right now is that if a person wants the desirable state, okay, so that's the existing state, and that's the desirable state. So there's a natural law that if a person wants the desirable state, he brings himself to it more quickly, more peacefully, more instead of with suffering. He evokes natural forces that go towards his desire. Even in the kibbutzniks, even in criminals, it doesn't matter. Now, the only thing that Kabbalah gives you, and it doesn't give you anything else, is that it tells you what is the desirable state and helps you want it. Because there is no other wisdom, knowledge, teaching that tells you the desirable state that we should progress towards. Yes? So that's what Kabbalah does? Well, it's like any other teaching. Any teaching opens up a little, you know, broadens your horizons. So you can see the circumstances and the results. And people who have already traversed the way, who are experienced, what are Kabbalists? In the end, experienced individuals in this process of internal spiritual development, development of the soul, but people with experience, just like in this world, you need teachers who are experienced, meaning who can tell you in advance, you don't want to do that, you do want to do that. Why? I tried it. Try it for yourself. You'll see what happens. People jumped from the 10th floor before you, and you know where they ended up. You want to do it? Go ahead. But I'm telling you, it's not a good thing. So there are situations where you can see that it's not worth it. You can see, you can maybe throw something down. You can get a sense that it's not worth it. But there are situations where you just don't see it, that it's not worth it. But only someone who's really experienced. There's none so wise as the experienced. But to go through all of the sufferings, through all these ordeals, it's a terrible way. This is why they come and say, you can do it, not in its time, but by accelerating it. And this is what this whole teaching is for, to make it easier for us to correct. That's it. In a shorter way, not in a longer way. Because even the blows, you remember the beginning of the introduction? Right now we're in the last item. In the first items, what was he saying? Eat a piece of bread, drink a glass of water, you know, suffer and suffer and suffer, and you'll achieve the purpose of creation through all the blows. But can we do it? This much? Yes. If we had developed only through blows without the wisdom of Kabbalah, we would still come to it. But there is a cure, a remedy, sgula, to develop by evoking the light that reforms. Yes. Another question. A person understands that he needs domestic peace, right? Because the blows are appearing and we need peace, domestic peace at every level, as you said before. But the domestic peace that Kabbalah talks about is at a different level. The ego. No, it's not at a different level. Here in this life, in this world, we'll need to build the end of correction. Not at the spiritual level somewhere up there in the clouds. Here in this world, among all the nations and all the civilizations, there will have to be the same connection as one man, one heart. It sounds unrealistic. The blows can arrange everything in a very quick way. Instead of 7 billion, you'll have 70 people. Instead of 7 billion people, and they'll do it all. And that'll be the end of correction. It's very simple. They'll be living on the one tiny little bit of island that'll remain on Earth while everything else is submerged. And these 70 people will complete the correction. There's no calculation or consideration of bodies. It's about souls. You don't even need 70. Actually, Adam and Eve are enough. Well, what does it mean it's the same domestic piece? So why do I need the wisdom of Kabbalah? This is a domestic piece. So why can't people make domestic peace? They want to live in peace in this world. There's a different problem. They're aiming it into this world. And Kabbalah says that you have to rise in domestic peace above this world. They will understand it from within, out of their troubles, that in order to rise above the ego, they need the upper force, that they themselves are unable. This they will understand out of the suffering. You can understand that from the suffering because, look, we have come down from above downwards. And in this cascading, we can also come step by step, stage by stage, through terrible blows. We can also re-achieve these achievements, these attainments. And there have been cases in the world where people attained spiritual correction only out of suffering. There were cases. Even when I was next to Abasha, I saw a few of those. But it's a terrible thing. It's just, if you look at the whole world, it's impossible for the whole world to experience it. It's only through the light that reforms. Of course, to evoke us, we need to have this drive, this deficiency, the question about the meaning of our lives. But after that, we can approach a person and show him the wisdom of Kabbalah. That's why you see what's happening today. On the one hand, there are all the troubles appearing in the world. On the other hand, the wisdom of Kabbalah comes and presents itself. Let's hope that we succeed here and all over the world to create that meeting between the need and the wisdom of Kabbalah. And with this, we conclude, but a few messages first. Today there will be an intro lecture in Ashkelon. We invite anyone who wants to come to the lecture. Admission is free. The lecture will be at 7 p.m. at the community center at 6 Carroll Street in Ashkelon, Israel. Again, it's free admission. The lecture is at 7 p.m. at Katzenelson Community Center, 6 Carroll Street. We invite you to stay with us after the lesson and watch Good Morning, the morning show that will start your day with much light and hope. Open lectures to the public are held at Bet Kabbalah Am Tuesdays at 7 p.m. at 112 Jabotinsky Street, Petah Tikva. The virtual group, a new internet virtual group for teaching the wisdom of Kabbalah in Hebrew. You can register at forum.keb.co.il. Live lesson every Monday, that's today at 9 p.m. Israel time at www.keb.tv. Friday together, closing the week with Bnei Baruch, summarizing the week, news, open discussions, activities, theater, songs, clips, and refreshments. Come with high spirits and purposeful mood and get ready for the Shabbat. This concludes our lesson. We thank you very much. Have a good day. Good night.